We're still in our series on relationships, and I thought it was awesome how God spoke to Andrew last week about emotions and talking about God's and his emotions for us, and the importance for us to be able to connect and express emotion ourselves. And then in the week before with Bex and Dave talking about the masculine and feminine traits of God and how we deal with that in terms of our understanding, because that influences how we live in our relationships, both one with God but also with each other, especially as some of the baggage we have as the Christian church is that we can just be honest, we've downtrodden females over the years and promoted men, and I'm absolutely sure that that's not the way that God intended it. And I think the Bible, in terms of the way that you read it, is very, if you consider the context and who it was written to, it was a progressive book about the role of women. In fact, I've spoken to Dave and Bex, and I would like them to do a part two where they actually go through some of the significant women in Scripture and talk about them. And let's talk about them, because we often talk about the men, you know, the Pauls and the Peters and the Jesus and the Moses and the Elijah and the Elisha. You can run all those off, but what about all the significant women that were hugely important in being part of the story of God and were recorded in the Bible? So at some stage in September, they're going to do that series, well, not a series, but that message where they unpack some of that as a further enlightenment of understanding of the Bible and how it presents that whole masculine feminine. But for us today, I want to talk about, and I gave a hint that I'd talk about this when I last spoke, I want to talk about boundaries this morning. So that's my theme. So if you're taking notes, that can be your heading, boundaries. Have we got that slide show up, guys? There it is. Look at that. Beautiful. Fantastic. So I've got a few notes and things. I want to talk about boundaries because I think, and a lot of what I'll talk about is based out of this book. Some of you may have seen it, may not have seen it. Written in 1992, so it's a pretty old book, but you know, there are some things that are truths that never go out of fashion. And I think this is a really powerful book. I think they've summarized it a lot better than this one now. It's been obviously 25 years later, things change. But if you want to go into further detail, this is a really great book. There's a workbook that goes alongside it. But I've taken some of the principles out of that book today. I came across this book way back in the actually early 90s, sort of ages me a little bit. And I was going through a stage in my life where I'd started university, I was away from home. When you're living in an environment where your parents are your parents, and I was very much brought up in the environment where my parents controlled what happened in our house, and rightfully so, because it was their house, and they determined what was okay in that house and what wasn't okay in that house. And I lived under that and honoured my parents in terms of as much as I could in terms of that, while still that going through that journey that we all have to go through where we find who we are in ourselves. You know, a lot of our base, you know, there's more and more arguments now. I heard in the news this week there's more and more discussion around the first 1,000 days. I always used to believe it's the first 4 years of a baby's life, of a young person's life, that are the determining factors. And more research is coming out about the importance of that first 1,000 days, that you are influenced incredibly by what happens to you in that first 1,000 days of your life. So your parents set you up for something. They build a foundation in your life. But as you grow, you actually have a choice of what you do with that foundation that they've built into your life. It's one of the biggest challenges, I think, as a parent, is to watch your children grow and see them begin to make choices in their own life. Sometimes they make choices that you disagree with. I can remember a particular conversation with my dad one time when I'd just finished university. I'd worked for a year in the workforce after getting my qualification, And I really felt at the end of that year, or actually this was just an ongoing burning, but at the end of that year, I really felt that God was saying, I want you to go to Bible college. Now, I had that conversation with my mum and Dad wasn't very happy about that, which is interesting because my dad was a pastor. So he had given his, him and mum had given their lives to serving God full time, right from the moment they were married. They committed to going overseas on the mission field. They did that for 18 years in Africa, came back, then took over a part-time, bivocational in a little country church outside of Nelson. Did that full-time ministry all the way through for as long as I could remember all my life. Mum and Dad, that's what they did. And then I go and talk to Dad about following in his footsteps, and he's, I don't want you to do that. I don't think it's a wise thing to do. Which you look back and you go, oh. But I had to make a choice for myself. It was one of those moments. I either at this moment I can honor my parents or I can choose to honor them by obeying God. And so I began to set some boundaries up around my life. And it was really helpful to have come across this book in this process, because what this book actually tells you is that freedom, your freedom in your life is completely and utterly dependent on how well you manage your own boundaries within your life. And so I want to talk a bit about that, because I think God is into boundaries. I think they're healthy. I think they're part of our lives. And if you don't have healthy boundaries in your life, then someone else will create boundaries for you, which will be unhealthy for you. Someone else will control you if you don't take control of your own world. Because there are plenty of people around you who will attempt to control you in whatever way they may feel is fit. You're with me on that? And you choose. You choose what environment you live your life in. If you go right back to Genesis chapter 1, God sets up humanity with some very clear boundaries. Some very clear boundaries in Genesis 1 and 2. If you read those in terms of the origins of humanity and origins of our faith, you look at it and God is very clear with them. He says, I want you, you're here, I'm making you in my image. Male and female, I'm making you in my image. I want you to multiply. I want you to subdue the earth. I want you to rule and have dominion over everything on the earth. I want you to be my representative on planet earth. And he goes on and he says, you can do whatever you like in this garden. It's all yours to use. There's complete freedom in here, but here's a couple of boundaries. You can see these two trees in the middle? You can eat of anything in the whole, but not that one. Just that one tree. But your boundaries are this whole place. You can live within that, except for that tree. Freedom, complete freedom, but it still had boundaries. In fact, you can argue that a lack of boundaries is actually a form of slavery. In fact, if you choose not to exist within a set of boundaries, you become slave to someone else's boundaries. If you choose not to create some places that are yours and only yours to determine what happens in, then someone else or something else will control you. You'll be in slavery. And we know that Jesus came to break slavery off us. He came to set us free. He came to give us life. In fact, John 10:10 says this, and I'm going to run through some of my favorite verses. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus came that we would have life. You know, my acronym for life, and our acronym as a church is Living in Freedom Every Day, L-I-F-E, Living in Freedom Every Day, that life is only experienced when you experience the fullness of the freedom that God has for you. Whoop, skip past one. Galatians chapter 5 says this, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Jesus has set you free, but if you don't choose to stay within his freedom, then you will be bound. It is a choice you and I make. We choose the boundaries on which our life exists. 3 John 1 verse 2, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." God's desire is that you would prosper in your soul, that internally you would be prospering, that you would be living in freedom, that you would be living and experiencing the fullness of life as God intended you to have. Your soul, if you go on into Proverbs 4:23, it uses the word heart. We would describe that as the same idea. The center of who you are, your soul, that area that only you have influence and control over, that we're to guard that. We're to keep that with all diligence. We're to guard it above all else, for it influences everything that we do in our lives. You have a healthy heart, you'll have a healthy life. You have a healthy soul, life will be experienced to the full. There's something that comes into our lives when we begin to live in the freedom that God has given us. So here's some introductory thoughts for you. I've probably already run them through. God created us for freedom. He created you to live in freedom. In your relationships, he created you for freedom in your relationships. So often I see in relationships within human beings and in the dynamics within a church environment, within families, within friends and colleagues at work, within student colleagues in a college environment, there is so much that goes on in those relationships that is actually controlling. Where we try to control each other, where we try to manipulate each other, where we try to get other people to do what we need them to do so we feel better about ourselves, where we try to get other people to fill the gaps that are happening in our own souls, and so we become dependent on someone else to do something for us so that we feel good about ourselves. You know, one of the biggest challenges for someone who stands up and does public speaking a lot is you can become very aware of what people are saying about your messages. I think I've shared this before. You know, you can have 20 people who can come up with you and go, "Wow, that is so good. It was so amazing. I was so blessed by that message." And you get that one email. The one email where someone goes, "Oh, you proof text," which means you grab a piece of scripture out of context and you pull it in here to prove your argument. And you're going, and you dwell on the one thing. That becomes the thing that controls your world. It happens in our relationships all the time. We see it all the time. And so our relationships aren't living in freedom. God wants us to live in freedom in our relationships with Him and with each other, because that's life. Your heart, soul, condition is vital. Relationships have the most potential to help or hinder your soul condition. You know, all of the people that over the years I've sat down with, and I'm not a counselor, so I won't even say that I've counseled them, where I've listened, most of the major struggles, just about all of the struggles they're having in their lives, are rooted in a relationship issue. Someone did something, whether it be their parents. You know, if you're a parent here, you know you don't always get it right, right? I'm praying that my kids are able with God to process all of the things that I've done to them that will, you know, have scarred them for life. One day they might sit in front of a counselor and talk about it. It's just the reality. Relationships have the most potential to help your soul, but they also have the most potential to hinder your soul. And most of the time, the relationship damage that has been done is because someone at some stage overstepped a boundary. It was either a boundary that the person who has been hurt didn't even know that they had, or that they should have had, or they could have had. But it was a boundary that someone else overstepped. And that other person often, in some occasions, has stepped over that boundary without even realizing they were doing so. It wasn't a deliberate thing. Most people aren't that mean to deliberately go around and hurt someone else. Most of us aren't that mean, but unintentionally we step across them. But they provide hurt for us. But people who live within the safe context of our boundaries and who live around our boundaries and who relate to us healthily through our boundaries, they become the kinds of people that can help our soul. And we need more of those kinds of people in our lives because we're built for those kinds of relationships. My last introductory thought there is freedom and responsibility go together. I had this really, actually my mentor gave me a phrase quite a long time ago when we were dealing with some of the issues of our soul around relationship. And he just gave me a phrase and he just said, just remember, their response is their responsibility. Their response is their responsibility. Your response is your responsibility. If you want to live in freedom, you must take responsibility for yourself. And you must understand that my ability to live with freedom that God has given me is not dependent on anyone else. It's not dependent on God. Because he's not that kind of controlling God where he comes in and he says, you must do this. He's not that kind of God. You look at Genesis originally. He said to them, here it is, enjoy. Just don't touch that. That's your boundary. The rest of it, freedom. He's not a God that comes in and says, that is how you must live. He leaves you to make the choice. He left Adam and Eve to make the choice about how they were going to live within the freedom. It was their responsibility. It wasn't God's responsibility. It was theirs. And it's the same for us today. If you want to live in freedom, you choose. You choose to live in freedom. It's not someone else's choice. It's yours. Ephesians 4. And I used this in my message a few weeks ago. Ephesians 4, 14 to 16. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. See, the idea of freedom has boundaries. If you're going to be part of a body and live in the freedom of what that looks like, Paul is talking about the ultimate of what a church looks like, that we are to become the body of Christ, that we're to be connected in such a way that it's healthy, that we are each supporting each other and we're each growing, but as we do that and we each are responsible for our own part and what we're each doing, that the whole body grows. That freedom comes in taking responsibility for what is your part to do. For what is your responsibility. That freedom for us as a body and health for us as a body is dependent on how well you live within the boundaries, take responsibility for the part, for the responsibility, for the thing that God has given you. Our whole health depends on how well you live within your own soul. How well you take responsibility in the freedom that God has given you. So I want to quickly talk about, what is a boundary? Very simply, a mental, physical, spiritual, emotional line that determines what is mine and what isn't. What I have responsibility for and what I don't is a boundary. See, this involves you taking a look at yourself. You've got to take a look at yourself. For you to be healthy in terms of internally, you've got to take time to reflect. You know that phrase, their response is their responsibility. My response is my responsibility. I have to examine what's going on in my heart. When someone does something that upsets me, that hurts me, my first response needs to be, what's going on in my internal world that is causing that hurt, that upset, that anger, that frustration, whatever the emotion is that's associated with it? What is going on in my world? Because how I respond to them is my responsibility. I can't control what they've done. You can't control how other people live their lives. If you try to, you're stepping over into their boundaries and into their world and controlling their soul. And you become a controlling kind of person that no one wants to be around. If you don't try to control someone else's behavior, the only way that you can change someone else's behavior is by changing yours. By looking at yourself and going, how am I responding to that behavior? See, a healthy response with a healthy boundary, if someone's hurt you, you look at yourself and you go, why does that hurt me? Why am I hurt by that? And you identify what is going on in my world that is causing that. Is it because I have a sensitive spot? Or is it because they've crossed over a boundary? If they've crossed over a boundary, it's your responsibility to go, actually, I'm not happy with that, and to respond appropriately, to enforce my boundary. You know, there are some people who, because of their personality type, will irritate you. You may actually be married to someone because of their personality type. They irritate you. You may work with someone. Now, you can try and change them, but that isn't going to work. Let me just say that, you know, young people, at some stage you're going to get in a relationship. Okay? It might end up in marriage. If you start off in that thinking, I'm going to change the person, it ain't going to work. You can stop right there. Okay? You enter a relationship and you go, let's not be naive about this. The only way that this relationship is going to work is if I'm willing to change. It's true. Any healthy relationship, you look at Donald and Denise celebrating 48 years. The biggest thing I would say of any relationship that I've seen last a long time is for both partners in that relationship to be willing to change themselves. To deal with what's going on in their own soul and their own heart so that we make this relationship work. The moment, and I know this from my personal experience, I won't say this is true for Donald and Denise. The moment I begin to point the finger at my spouse who's not here today, my lovely Philippa, and say, you've got an issue that needs to change, guess what? That is not worth it. Not even worth putting your breath to it. And vice versa. You know, if she points the finger at me and says it's your problem. You know, that is one of the quickest ways to get someone's back up. To get someone irritated is to point the finger at them. Boundaries require you to take responsibility for what is within your own control and to deal with that. Boundaries are healthy. God designed them. We all need them. He's designed us to live within them. Some key points about boundaries, and I'm going to finish with these 4 points, and I'm going to unpack them next week. Boundaries, me, not me. This is me, this is not me. I don't have responsibility for what is not me. 2 and 4. We're responsible to others, but we're responsible for ourselves. I'll unpack these next week. I want to give you these just to start with. You can write them down. Galatians 6 is a really good passage about 2 and 4. Good in, bad out. Boundaries are designed to help you keep the good in your life and keep the bad out. Sometimes people have that in reverse, and our boundaries keep the bad in and the good out. We need to work our boundaries so that they're permeable, is the word I use, where we push the evil out, the bad out, and we draw the good in. Because your boundaries need to contain the good, because that's what's good for your soul. And the last one is that God, in his very nature, has boundaries. He is 3 in 1. They all have different responsibilities, but they're all one. They all have a different role, but they're all one. And they work together and acknowledge each other in this beautiful dance that is the Trinity, of each having their roles, their responsibilities, but each magnifying and blessing the other in that process. For all of us, we need boundaries. We need boundaries. They are healthy, they are God designed, and you and I need to have them. If you're struggling with life and relationships, this is a broad generalization, but I would probably say in 90% of the times, it is due to a boundary issue. God wants us to live in freedom every day. He wants us to exist together so that we live healthily in relationship with each other. And together we grow, and we grow his body. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for great people who write great books. I thank you that we are all on a journey together in discovering what it means to live in freedom every day. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would help each one of us to be more self-aware, to look into our own lives and go and ask ourselves the question, how am I going with the boundaries around my world? And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would lead us all into ever-increasing amounts of freedom that Jesus has bought for us.